If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
What is natural? When you read natural flavors on a label, most people don't realize it's often not real food at all. Those hidden ingredients quietly work against how your body feels and functions over time. That's why Just Ingredients uses only real food ingredients, so you know exactly what you're putting in your body. Stop guessing. Start knowing at justingredients.us.
The Southern Ground Hunting Podcast is brought to you by Spartan Forge. Forged in combat and tailored for hunters, Spartan Forge stands at the nexus of machine learning and whitetail deer hunting to deliver truly intuitive and science-based products that save the hunter time spent scouting, planning, and executing their hunts. You can start your free 14-day trial today by visiting spartanforge.ai, and you can use the code SOUTHERNGROUND, that's all lowercase, all one word, Southern Ground at checkout. That'll get you 25% off of your purchase. If you're wanting to know more about saddle hunting, well, check out tetherednation.com for all your saddle hunting needs. Tethered is for saddle hunters by saddle hunters, and they're redefining ultralight hunting. If you'd like to support the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast, you can visit patreon.com/southerngroundhunting, or you can click on the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. We offer two different tiers for our patrons that offer a solid list of benefits. We'd love for you to join the Southern Ground Hunting community today. Again, that's patreon.com/southerngroundhunting. And now, let's get to the show. Hey guys, last year was a wild year for censorship for hunters and anglers. We've partnered with the social media platform Go Wild to combat mainstream social media censorship. Go Wild was built by outdoorsmen and women and by hunters and anglers just like you. Go Wild is a free social community. Not only are your photos not censored, they're encouraged on Go Wild. Go Wild gives you points for things like sharing your trophies, gear reviews, and inviting friends. And as you earn points, you start to unlock awesome rewards too, such as gift cards, free stuff, knives, huge discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex, and so much more. Oh, and if you create a free account, you can unlock $10 just for trying it out. Visit downloadgowild.com to get started. Well, pretty good trip.
Pretty good trip.
I figured we'd just go ahead and start recording since
Are we recording?
We are recording.
All right.
We are on the road back to East Texas. Just finished up a hunt in West. It's West Texas, but it's not. It's like North Central West Texas.
Yeah, North Central West Texas. Kind of South Central West.
South Central Northwest. Touch of East. It's the eastern part of West Texas.
Yeah.
And the northern part. It's hard to tell. I don't know where we are. It looks like West Texas.
Does look like West Texas.
Mesquites and... One of the things that I really like about out here is all the oaks, the live oaks. It just, like, it makes it... Like, where we're from, out in Midland, Odessa, Permian Basin, you might have a live oak every once in a while, but not like this. Out here, you got these big, wide live oaks that are just awesome. And did you notice when we were up in those ridges... And you'd be in those in the live oaks and stuff. The understory is just non-existent.
Oh,
like it's cleared out.
Yes, I could use that at my length for sure.
I mean, just perfect. I mean, it looks like perfect turkey habitat. But
it's real rugged and rustic. But I really like the West Texas atmosphere.
I do too. I like the people, the terrain, the sunrises and sunsets. Those are awesome.
Oh, man. But I don't like the wind.
The wind?
I can't stand the wind.
The wind can kiss my butt. I hate it.
Yeah, it really can mess you up.
This morning, I mean, could you hear it rocking that house?
No, I was asleep. Morning? I must have been sound asleep.
I got up at like 5:30 and I didn't expect it to be windy because it was supposed to be not windy today.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be clear, low of 50-something and high of 70-something. It was supposed to be a perfect day. But we got our Rios.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was a cool, really fun hunt.
I'm in the club.
You're in the club.
The turkey club.
You were already technically in the turkey club.
I was.
But
that was a lucky shot. I had my eyes closed when I shot that turkey years ago.
And you shot it with a rifle during deer season. It's just kind of one of those things, which I've done that before growing up out here. When deer hunting's slow and a turkey comes through, well...
Shoot that.
I'll shoot that. But I made a post on... Facebook earlier, or last night, I guess. And I said, it was nice to come back to my home area and hunt Rios, like West Texas, West, Northeast, South Central Texas Rios, and pay them the respect that they deserve. Because we just didn't really respect them, I don't think, back then. It was kind of just a they're more of a pest than anything for a deer hunter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, you'd shoot one every once in a while. And we spring turkey hunted. I shot a couple of them during the spring growing up. But it wasn't like what I know as turkey hunting and the way that most people listen to this know as turkey hunting. It was just kind of like hogs, you know?
Very much like hogs.
Just kind of eat your corn and so you kill them. But I don't think that hunt could have went any better.
It was amazing.
Than what happened. So we roll in. So and this is anybody who doesn't know. One of my things that I'm trying to do this year is do my I don't even know the technical name of it, but the slam. Where you get all your four U.S. subspecies in one season. I'm trying to do the single season. I've done the lifetime, I guess. I've killed all four subspecies, but I really wanted to do the all in one season, and it just worked out this year to where we could do it. So I got my Florida Osceola, got my Eastern in Alabama, and then this trip, these next 2 weeks, was all about getting the Rio and the Merriams. And, I mean, when you think about Texas, I think most people probably look at Texas and be like, oh, well, they probably outfitted that hunt. And they probably paid big money to go and shoot, which it is. If you don't know somebody, it's expensive. What do we I looked it up. It was like
$1,500. That was the cheap end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do an outfitted hunt out here. And it was just kind of one of those deals where we were like, well, it started off with Uncle Mike's property. My uncle just bought, how many acres did he buy?
I think 150.
150 acres. And we were going to go and hunt that. Well, he was kind of like, you know, there were turkeys out here. There's turkeys that come through here. But I haven't seen one in a long time. And so we had to kind of really scramble to figure out what we were going to do. And so you had your buddy Jeff, who has his property. And the good thing about it, the good thing about knowing people out here is, like what we said, they don't respect turkeys. They don't care about turkeys for the most part. It's not a lack of respect. Maybe that's a bad word. But they don't care about them. If we were like, hey, can we come hunt deer on your property? You'd be like, oh, hold up, hold
yeah,
up.
You're right.
But turkeys are like, yeah, come shoot a turkey. I don't care. And so we had this small property, 300 acres that Jeff has around altogether?
No, it felt like it walking it, but it wasn't.
I thought it was 170 acres each.
Maybe it was. That one was a little bit smaller, but maybe it was about 300, but it felt like 10,000 to me. Trying to get up. Man, it's hard.
I love it, though. I love everything about it. It's been a long time since I've hunted a turkey in mesquites and, like, this just West Texas
I love
terrain.
It, but I'm fat, and you're less fat, so...
Was that kinda, a nice, that was kind of nice.
Kind of nice.
I don't know if that was a nice a compliment or.
Well, you're me made over, and I'm your grandfather made over. So there you go.
So
deny the genes.
I think yesterday we put on what, 3, almost 4 miles,
almost
maybe
4,
in the rugged stuff. It's not. I wouldn't call it. It's not flatland like where we're from. It's a little bit.
There was hills.
Hillier, more rugged.
But rocks. I mean, you got
rocks,
your steps, snakes.
In the mud that we were, because we had that bad rainstorm that came through, and it kind of made things a little bit difficult.
Lots of cactus.
Mud. Yeah, mud and cactus. But I want to paint a picture here because. It's really easy when you're in a state like Alabama, Florida, Georgia, any of these southern states where most people are listening from, Arkansas, stuff like that. It's really easy to think about the situation that we're describing and think, oh, well, there's just turkeys running around like crazy. There's just turkeys on every corner. And it's not the case.
That wasn't the case.
That wasn't what happened. Mm-hmm. We had two hunts that were very quick from the time we sat down to the time we pulled the trigger. But I think just walking, like as far as just walking around on the property, we saw one turkey.
Yeah.
When we were driving in the first day. But we covered 4 miles and we never saw a turkey on our property. There was some in a field a long ways away.
You're right.
And yesterday morning, there was not just birds gobbling like crazy, which I thought there would be. I thought we'd let out an owl hoot and there'd just be birds going nuts.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. And there was some later times that we heard some turkeys, but It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-mm. No, I really expected something a little bit different. But regardless, we got our turkeys.
Yep.
And we, it's like I talked about in my Florida Osceola hunt with Jared and Casey, and it's one of those things where you earn it somewhere. I mean, you just spent a week in Alabama, and we put on some serious miles and just grueling days out there trying to kill a turkey. And I ended up killing the one, but you've turkey hunted with me, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yes.
You've come down there?
Yeah.
And not been able to kill one.
Gotten close a number of times.
Gotten close.
Hadn't materialized.
And so, while your hunt was maybe, didn't seem, it was fairly easy-ish, you earned it. You earned every single one of them.
Yeah. That morning I earned it. I put in the time in the morning, was that hiking up and down. And I've come to figure out that when you got three guys, it's really hard to keep yourself hidden because mm-hmm. turkeys can see so good.
Yeah.
And when you got two guys, it's also tough.
Yeah, it's so I much easier to hunt by yourself.
I really think it's a by-yourself thing to try to keep from their eyes.
Well, the other thing, too, is experienced hunters. I could go out with, you know, Adam Cruz and Matt Reeves, who are Luke, you know, who guys who...
I've heard Adam Cruz can't kill a turkey if he's
yeah. Well, you know, he struggles a little bit.
Sorry, I got to be Drew here today. Oh wait, that's Walter we get on, right?
Yeah, we not talk about Adam. Walter. Yeah, we make fun of Walter. Adam. Walter gets more promotion on the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast.
He's mentioned all the time, more than your dad.
Yeah, more than us. I think we've driven more listeners to Chasing Tails than we have kept listeners on Southern Ground. No, but I mean, I could hunt with those guys and it'd be, cause they've done it
yes.
a lot,
yeah.
a lot. They know how, they know the way to sit and how to be still. And not that you don't, but you just haven't turkey hunted. You haven't trained.
Donuts. Sorry. I saw donuts.
I'll bet that's a good donut shop too.
I bet it is. But you're right. They have experience and I don't. Jeff has got a little bit from years ago, but it was kind of hard to keep ourselves hidden still. I've really worked on being a lot stiller, and I noticed our buddy Jeff, he'd get up, sit back down, get up, sit back down. Jeff, you're listening to this. I was laughing a little bit. Jeff Noble, he's a great guy, and I sure appreciate him letting us come out and
oh,
do
yeah.
this. So now
absolutely.
I'm softening back up here.
Yeah. but I mean, you know, it's hard to learn. So like one of the things is like learning how to sit. If you listen to or read the old pro turkey hunter, he talks about Gene Nunnery, the guy who wrote the book, talks about learning how to sit completely still in position with your gun on your knee, lean back against the tree in kind of a almost a laying down type position where you can move. And he's talking about an old timer that he knew that taught him how to turkey hunt and stuff. And the guy said you need to go out and sit in your yard against a tree for an hour and learn to do that for an hour without moving.
You get those muscles developed mm-hmm. that do that, that make you do that.
Yep. And so there's, you know, you learn how to sit. You learn the ways that you can be comfortable for your body type, you know. Like you said, we're, for a bigger guy, having a gut can make that really difficult to sit in such a way. I'm getting you back for saying
you just
I'm...
slap me hard.
No, I'm just saying anybody, for anybody. You know, you get it. You got a gut, it's harder to do that.
See, I'd rather say it this way. I'd rather say it that turkey hunting muscles are different than golfing muscles. Mm-hmm. See, okay? Now, I think that's a nicer, more sensitive way to tell fat guys.
Well, because a gut for golf is kind of like a muscle.
It benefits you. You can't mess up your swing nearly as bad. So
that's all it is. I'm not fat. I'm just a golfer.
I'm a golfer.
But, you know, holding your gun up, you know, like all that kind of stuff. It's just you got to learn how to do it. So, anyways, getting into the actual hunt, we roll in.
Let's talk about that.
We roll in to this little ranch, and Jeff's like, "Hey, I'm gonna show you guys the property. Take you out on a Kubota. We'll ride around the property." I mean, immediately, we see that hen. We leave the ranch house, and that hen's like right there, and yep. We're like,
"Hey."
I told him, I said, "How much you pay her to stand there for us?" And then we drove around the whole rest of the property, didn't see a single another turkey.
Saw some hogs.
Saw some pigs, yeah. But not another turkey. Not at all. And it was like, huh, well, it's just not what I expected. It's great. It's kind of how I should expect it by now, because anytime we go to somewhere that's a quote-unquote target-rich environment, it's like, well, where's the targets? They're gone.
Yeah, always.
Always. That's just the way it works out. And didn't see another one, but Jeff was like, "Hey, there's this ridge up here. I've seen some turkeys on it before. You want to get out and see if there's anything there?" So we get out, walk out. I mean, we're not really taking anything too terribly seriously.
Not really.
Because we're not technically hunting yet. You know, I didn't even have my gun loaded. And, like, we were just kind of walking around checking out the property. Well, I pull out that, it's a glass call from Holland Custom Calls. My buddy Justin Holland made it for me. It has the Southern Ground logo on it. It's pretty cool. And I pull that thing out. And immediately a turkey gobbles. But it wasn't a hard goblin Eastern. You know, it was the only reason I knew that it was a turkey was because it was only happening right after I called. It didn't sound like a turkey goblin. It was so far away. My guess is 500 to 600 yards at that initial gobble. Yeah, you never even heard it.
You and Jeff heard it, but I wasn't picking it up.
And it literally just sounded like a distant sound. It didn't sound like a gobble, but it was And then we just barely hear it. And what people have to understand is the wind noise completely drowns out everything else. So you're battling that wind, not only to get your call out there, but to hear the gobble back. And then we did it. I said, "Was that a bird gobbling?" And you just hear that just faint noise. About 3 seconds after I quit calling. And then it was kind of like, yeah, that's a bird. That's a turkey gobbling. Pulled out the maps, put my direction on, and pointed it towards where I thought the gobble was coming from. And it was basically right where that hen was at before.
Right.
And so we just kind of... We were up on top of this live oak ridge. And on the other side, it goes down into a really deep creek, really thick, deep creek, which is where the hogs are mostly spending all their time at. And we had to figure out, Jeff was like, "All right, I'm going to go around. I'm going to get in the Kubota and kind of go around and get up on top of this and just wait for you guys. Y'all go down there and chase after him." And so me and you walked down there quickly. But I don't know about you. I didn't really have a lot of hope. That thing was so far away. I was kind of like,
"Yeah, I mean, chase another turkey here."
Yeah,
we did in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean that turkey. That turkey was so far away. It just didn't feel like something. But it was what we had to go on, so we might as well chase after it. And so it goes down in this off of this live oak ridge down into a deep ravine, and then you come back up, and there's a open pasture right there. Cow pasture where the cows graze and do all their stuff. So we get over there probably, what, 15, 20-ish minutes takes us to get there, you think?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
And we haven't heard him gobble again. He's not in the pasture. We can tell that because we can see all that. So we can tell he's not in there. Hit that glass call one more time. And that son of a gun comes running out of the mesquites.
He was right there.
I think we saw him at probably 200 yards. And he came from 200 to 40 in, I mean, seconds.
He was coming.
It was quick. And gobbling and strutting. Oh, it was...
He was looking for some loving real quick.
And you know what's crazy is these turkeys, an Eastern, most of the time, an Eastern is going to look in that pasture and say, well, I don't see her. I'm going to turn around and go back the other way. And this bird just didn't do it. He's like, I don't see her, but I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep coming. And he comes in just strutting and gobbling and doing his thing. It was absolutely beautiful. With that mesquite backdrop back behind us. But
let me back up just for a second in the story if I can, because when we come to that field, because we had heard that bird, we didn't want to get out in that field,
mm-hmm.
because that was going to mess up the whole hunt.
Right.
And we just kind of stood there for a second and said, well, do we make the move? And the right thing that we did is we said, let's get behind this tree. It's a perfect tree. And that bird, when it came, it never knew we were there.
No. And we
something that happened.
There's one thing.
We'll get to that in a minute.
We ended up just standing there behind that tree. I propped my gun up against the crotch of a mesquite. And just stood there, and didn't make the mistake, but there wasn't. I had my tripod and everything with me, but there was no time.
That was fast. It was quick.
I couldn't set up anything. We hit that call. He gobbled, and then all of a sudden, there he was at 200 yards across the field, running right to us.
And we couldn't make no moves.
Nothing.
Not at that point.
So I
he
pulled
was locked
my
in.
Camera out and said, "Here you go." Here you go, Dad.
Okay. All right. We have to bring that up.
And didn't show you anything about how to do it. I hit record and said, it's running. Didn't show you how to zoom. Didn't show you anything. It was my fault. But then this turkey comes in. Well, he's standing about 40 yards. And I'm shooting TSS. So somewhere between 30 and 40 yards is the best pattern for that gun. It's amazing at 30 to 40 yards. And I go to pull the trigger on him. He breaks strut, pops that head up, click. And I was like, son of a gun.
Only thing that could go wrong.
Yeah.
It went wrong.
I didn't put a bullet in the chamber. I had two in the whatever in the gun, but I never chambered one. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So
that turkey looked up.
He looks up like, what huh? in the world?
What
is going
was that?
On? Never heard one make that noise. But maybe she's.
Yeah, really ready.
Maybe she's really ready. I don't know. And so, gun clicks. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't chamber a bullet. So I go to rack around in there in the chamber, and I didn't really. I'm surprised I had this idea in the heat of the moment, but I started yelping whenever I chambered the other shell.
That's awesome.
So that he was distracted by that noise and he gobbled at it, and I don't think he heard anything when I racked that shell because he just kind of stood there and pulled the trigger on him. And honestly, I was so in the moment, I didn't know if I had actually... If I had gotten another shell in the chamber, I didn't look.
Yeah, because you don't know. You don't know if it engaged it or not.
Nope.
I've done that a lot of times.
And so it was kind of like, I was living on a prayer right then. And he flopped, and it was awesome.
But what I found interesting is after just kind of watching a bird in that situation, after he heard that click, he was a little more on alert.
Yeah, he popped his head up.
But the other thing that he did, and I know that he did this, he kind of veered a little bit off of his course.
Uh-huh.
That he was coming straight at us, and after the click, then he turned, because I had to adjust the camera around you to try to pick him up as he went to our right, his left.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still think he was coming.
Yeah.
But I think he was something in him was going, I'm not sure, but I'm still going to go to that sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was coming. I don't think he was going to... I think we were going to get a shot at him, regardless of if I shot right then or not.
But you remember those last few steps, he turned to the right just a touch.
Yep. Yeah. But he flopped, and we were like...
Oh, it was fun.
What in the world just happened? How did that just happen? But you had never really got to see one come in strutting. And
not like that, no.
Not gobbling.
No, because he kept doing his thing. He kept strutting and throwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was so cool.
And these Rios are about the prettiest birds that are out there. Rios and Merriams with those white and gold tips of their feathers. It's just an unreal bird. It was so fun to do that and to get to, it's like this nostalgia of being in my home region and getting to appreciate something new that I didn't appreciate whenever I was living here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was like a new...
It was a gold mine that you didn't know was sitting here.
Exactly. It was a new experience for me. And I think every hunter probably has those experiences whenever they first start hunting, because people are taking them to really good properties and trying to get them into it. And then you get into the game and now it's on you to find your properties, and you're like, man, I wish I could just go back to where I was at before.
All the time.
I mean...
All the time. Yes.
Think about how many awesome properties we got to hunt that we didn't even realize were all that great. And we didn't know
deer,
what we were doing.
Huge deer, turkeys all over the place, target-rich environment. Oh, we ain't got nothing out here.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to Alabama where we can really hunt.
Really hunt.
I remember that even in high school, we would come out to Alabama for holidays, and I'm like, man, I just want to live there. They live and breathe hunting out there. And now I'm like, man, I'd love to go back to West Texas. But the thing about West Texas that is tough is there's just not, Texas in general, there's just not public land.
Right.
And so you have to know somebody or have money. It's a money game in Texas to get on.
I've got a little bit of public land right outside of Tyler that I went and looked at last year, did one hunt on it, a deer hunt, and I'd like to develop that a little bit more.
Yeah. And there is some.
A little
bit.
Not much.
Buddies from the Element, Casey and Tyler, they got public land that they hunt effectively. They kill deer out there. So there is a little bit, but you know, even that is not, it's not like what we have.
Right.
So we can appreciate that. You know, you offered me a job to come and work at the church. And
by the way, that's still available if you want it.
And I won't.
I know.
Because there's just not the public opportunities, and that's kind of the thing that I like to hunt. But if you're hunting Texas, and let's just say you're doing a 49 state slam for turkeys, Texas is just one of those states that you've got. If you're a public land purist, you've kind of just got to bite the bullet on Texas and hunt private land. We were fortunate to have connections out here just because this is where we're from. We were fortunate to be able to do it the way that we did it, but most people aren't going to have that. They're either going to have to pay somebody or know somebody. But that's not the end of it.
Right.
Not the end of this trip. Because we had to get you your bird.
Well, in between there, let me ask you a question. I've been sitting on this question for quite a while. So far, you've got, if my West Texas arithmetic teaching is right, you've got 3/4 of the slam. Three-fourths of the single season. One-fourth left, right?
I need the Merriams.
One more. So that's 3/4.
Yep.
You got 75%. You need 25%.
Yep.
Anyway, out of that, the three that you have right now in this year, which one has been the most difficult bird for you? Is it been the Eastern, the Osceola,
without a doubt,
or the Rio?
Without a doubt, the Eastern.
Explain that. Why? I mean, wait.
You
live in Alabama. That's Eastern.
I killed an Osceola on the first day. So let's just say my lifetime slam. Okay, so I've killed all four subspecies. And every single one of them, other than the Eastern, I killed on the first day. So Merriam's, killed that on the first day of hunting Nebraska last year.
Right.
The first full day of hunting. We rolled into town and kind of drove around and scouted one day. And then the first actual day of hunting, killed a bird. Osceola killed a bird on the first day. Now, granted, it was the draw hunt with Jared. But just take that away. The next day of hunting that I did, I killed another Osceola by myself on not a draw hunt. So, killed the Rio on the first day. Which I had killed Rios before out on our lease growing up, but not as a turkey hunter. So let's just consider this to be my first Rio. Killed him on the first day. Every single one of them I've killed on the first day in places that I have never been. And I'm not trying to brag about that. I'm just trying to show how much more difficult the Eastern subspecies is. And especially when you consider being in Alabama, I lived there. I hunted every day just about this season. And I killed two turkeys. I killed a longbeard with you on public.
A trophy. That was a great
longbeard with you. And I killed a Jake on accident that I wouldn't have killed if I knew it was a Jake. So I've killed one bird in Alabama. And I hunted almost every single day.
And I came out and hunted with you a ton that week. And we just... I got close. We got close once, but mm-hmm. They were just more...
They spook at everything.
They just didn't seem to want... I mean, they'd gobble. Didn't have a problem with that. We heard it every time we went out.
Yeah.
But they didn't... They stayed... I don't know if that's hunting pressure. I don't know if it's just the type bird. I felt like it was hunting pressure.
Yeah.
Now, I may be wrong.
It may be hunting pressure. I mean, but Florida, there was a ton of hunting pressure out there too.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Nebraska, I have never seen more hunting pressure anywhere for any game animal, for deer, turkeys. Never seen more hunting pressure than I saw in Nebraska in May last year. Where I ended up spending most of my time this year in Alabama was on that lease property. I killed a bird on public, but there was one specific turkey that I'm going to do a full podcast about. So be on the lookout for it. Just kind of explaining my experiences with him. That property, though, I mean, there wasn't just a ton of people hunting it. You know, they weren't super pressured by anybody except me. And this bird, I got on him a whole lot of times, but he just would not do anything. And I obsessed over him while I'm typically a public land turkey hunter. I became a private land turkey hunter this year because he got under my skin. And I couldn't kill him. I didn't kill him. I thought I was killing him when I shot that Jake. And it wasn't.
But is that the same one that came in on me?
On you, yeah.
Yeah, same.
The only time that turkey acted dumb was when you were with me and when Henley was with me. That was the only 2 days that I had opportunities to get close to that turkey. And
yeah, the day that I was there, you probably could have shot him from your vantage point,
mm-hmm.
but he never got to where I could. I never saw him.
Yeah.
But I knew he was coming.
Mm-hmm. But it's serious. I mean, Alabama Easterns, and I don't want to just say Alabama because Tennessee is this way at times. I know Mississippi is like this. Georgia is like this. My first year of actually learning to become a turkey hunter was in 2014, I think. It was 2014 in Georgia. And it took me all season, but I finally killed a bird. So there are places, but now I want to say that I'm a fairly efficient turkey hunter, and I know what I'm doing in the turkey woods most of the time, but they'll always will humble you, no doubt. But it's still in Alabama. It's just a struggle. It's hard to kill birds out there.
Especially in the part
of Alabama that I live in. I made a post on Facebook about this at the beginning of turkey season on Facebook and Instagram of not comparing yourself to other turkey hunters because you don't know the situation.
That's good.
And it's kept me accountable all season long when I've been seeing tons of people, you know, tagged out in Alabama. You know, you're like, well, crap. I know I've hunted more than you.
I shot a Jake.
Yeah, I shot a Jake and a Longbeard. Don't forget about that Longbeard.
That was a nice bird.
But you can't compare yourself. I know that the region that I hunt is a difficult place to hunt. There's other parts of Alabama that are great. There's private lease property and hunting clubs and things like that in the region of Alabama that I live in that are managed for turkeys. And you just, it's as easy as going and sitting out on a green field and put your decoys out and calling one in. That's just not the case where I tried it this year. I mean, I was willing to do anything to kill that bird. And I didn't do it a lot, but I did it one or 2 days. And it didn't work. And so it's like people get so caught up on, like, they must be a better turkey hunter than I am because I'm struggling. And, so-and-so killed 3 birds in 3 days. It doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There are people out there with deer and turkeys who don't know jack flip about deer and turkeys, but they're tagging out on giant bucks and 4 longbeards every year. But they don't know anything about them. They've never learned anything because where they hunt's a good place to hunt.
I've seen TV personalities that fishing, hunting, whatever you want to say, that appear to be experts, but you get them in an environment where you have got to put it all together and they can't do it,
mm-hmm.
because they're not in the target-rich environment. Anybody can catch a fish out of a pond loaded with bass.
Right.
Anybody can do it. Just throw something in there. It don't matter what kind of bait, what color it is, how you retrieve it. It doesn't matter. You can't call yourself really good until you go to a place that you got to fight for it.
Right.
And struggle for it. So Alabama has made you a better turkey hunter because you've had to fight for almost every bird that you pull down.
I wouldn't trade it, though. Honestly. I love where I live. I don't want to move to the Midwest. It just doesn't sound like fun to me. I enjoy having to go out and work for it. And a lot, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And one thing that I really like too, this is something to appreciate. If you live in a place that doesn't have a lot of birds and you have to really grind to to kill one, it makes you so efficient anywhere else you go that does have birds. You go somewhere that has them, and it's like you're killing them on the first, second, third day.
See, I don't mind the grind. I don't like the walking.
Well, that's,
I guess that's the grind.
Technically, that's the grind, yeah.
Well, then I don't like the grind, then.
I don't mind the grind. It's just the exercise I don't like.
The exercise that gets me.
And the getting up early.
Oh, I don't like that.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah. I like to eat at a certain time, and when I'm turkey hunting, I don't get to eat. Got to eat those crackers right there, yeah. No, that's... all right. I don't want to miss my moment of glory, okay?
Yeah, this is... You've gotten a couple of cool moments of glory on this podcast before. You killed that great buck in Alabama on public land.
That was fun.
Several years ago.
That was fun.
We've had some moments in the last couple of years, but it does seem like when we go, it's always a struggle. It's a grind. And while you don't mind the grind, you don't like that part of it either.
Well, you know, I do think, I mean, there are people who are really blessed at hunting. And I have come to the point in my career of hunting that I'm not really necessarily one of the super blessed ones. All right? I get my blessings elsewhere, and I'm okay with that.
You got heavenly blessings.
I got
your deer lease in heaven is going to be unreal.
My life is good. I've got the perfect wife, perfect family, perfect. I trade everything for what I mean, I'm about to say that wrong, but I'm super blessed where I sit today. But it was nice to step out there and get a little bit. It was really nice.
It was fun. I mean, and like we said, you earned it elsewhere, maybe not on that specific moment of the hunt. But we walked in yesterday morning, and you were shooter. I didn't even carry a gun.
Right.
I should have, because a coyote came up.
Yeah.
15 yards away from me. I called that coyote up, and he just stood there.
Beautiful.
I mean,
if you put that on the video, y'all watch it. It's gonna be beautiful.
It's gonna be cool. Yeah, because he or she, I don't know what it was. It just came up to me, and I was like, "Do y'all see?" I was talking just like this. Do y'all see that coyote? There's a coyote right here, 15 yards, and he's just looking like, "Eh, you're not a turkey, but you look tasty." And
you look plump.
Yeah, you look real good sitting up there against that tree. And I'm just talking a regular voice. And anyways, heard gobbling, had some turkeys across this fence, which was a high fence. The other property was high fenced. The property we were on was not high fenced,
right.
But that boundary is high fenced.
Yes.
And these turkeys were gobbling, and they were in this field, and we were just trying to figure out what to do, what to, you know, make a move or just go try to find another bird. And we ended up, put on 3.5 miles in this property that morning.
Because those birds that were in that other field weren't budging. They would not give us the time of day.
No, but the crazy thing was none of them were gobblers that
right.
we could see in the field.
Right.
And we know there was birds gobbling on the edge of that field.
Yes.
And we just never, they never showed up. They went in the woods somewhere, or they just weren't in that big, nice, lush field that they should have been in. And so we knew there was a gobbler somewhere, and he wasn't there. So we kind of started walking around, and that got tiring as that Texas heat started.
Yeah, it got up to 90.
Yeah.
It was hot.
With the dry wind. I mean,
it
you can
wore,
just
yeah.
feel it on... My face is windburned right now. I feel sunburned, but it's just windburned. What did we do? We had some chores that we had to do. I had to take care of my bird because I just threw it in the ice chest. And because we shot it at 7:30 the night before. So I had to get my pictures and footage and...
Ate a little bit.
Yeah.
We really grinded it out when we took about an hour nap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that nap was needed.
It really was needed. It was tough.
And it's hard.
And Jeff had to leave.
Yeah. I don't know about you. It's hard to convince myself to get up and go hunt when the wind is just howling.
It's tough.
And you can feel it. Especially turkey hunting, because you're like, I'm not going to hear them gobble. They're not going to hear me calling. What's even the... I mean, we're just going to go sit out and deer hunt them, basically. So that's what we decided to do. Just go out, get up on that, in that pasture, and deer hunt them. Now, important thing to understand is we hunted around that pasture and called around that pasture yesterday morning and did not hear another turkey gobble. That's a big old pig, isn't it?
That was a big pig.
Golly.
That thing was massive.
But we didn't hear any turkeys gobbling around that field. Didn't see any other turkeys around that field. We were kind of, I don't know,
kind of like, it's not going to happen right now.
Right. We just didn't think it was going to pan out. We hadn't seen another bird on the property. It was just, it felt like it was, I get confidence and then I get very low confidence, and I was low confidence right there just because of what happened that morning. It didn't feel like there was another gobbling turkey on the property. We hadn't seen any tracks. We really just had no reason to believe that there was another bird close by.
But we were in a very nice spot. I think you may be about to get to that, but
yeah.
It was real comfortable.
Yeah, but we just decided, hey, let's... I brought a strutter decoy that I found out in the woods one day, and a hen decoy. And we're like, well, let's just go sit out in this field, which I know you were all about that life.
I didn't care.
That sounded great.
I like deer blinds.
Yeah.
I like sitting there reading a book.
Yeah, I mean, you were...
That's the grind for me.
So what you're saying is you like the grind of reading.
Reading, going through Facebook, seeing what all everybody's doing. Man, grind it out. Just... Worrying if you got enough cell service to be, or enough battery to last the day. That's tough stuff right there.
Yeah, that's hard. That's up there with pioneers.
Pioneers.
You know that they were dealing with that stuff too.
You had your northern accent again.
Did I?
Like the pioneers.
Pioneers. Them old pioneers.
You did your...
You're like a pioneer. North Dakota.
Michigan.
Yeah. So, put out these decoys, and it was hot as heck. I was sweating bad. The wind was just... I can't stress enough the wind. I mean, it's just... There's no trees really to block it.
Right. So, a 15-mile-an-hour wind in West Texas is a wind coming hard...
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really, for them, not much of a wind.
Yeah.
But it, for turkey hunting, it was a wind.
And they're used to it. You got to know these animals out here. They're used to the conditions. They've lived in the conditions forever. So the wind doesn't necessarily affect them, but it affects the way that you have to hunt them. Because you can't run and gun and chase gobbles and do all that stuff. What we did is really what you have to do in that scenario.
Right, right.
If you want to hunt.
It was a good move.
And we found, I mean, a beautiful setup with some big mature mesquite trees right on this point that jutted out into the pasture. And I had, again, low confidence, but it was a pretty spot and it was shady. It was, you know...
Yeah, temperature outside of that spot was 90, but inside that spot was probably 80.
Yeah.
A good 10 degree temperature drop. It was
very nice. Set those decoys up and I pulled out my aluminum call because of the wind. Those aluminums, I don't ever carry aluminum in Alabama anymore, but I brought it on this trip because I knew we were going to be in West Texas. And up close, it sounds harsh, and it doesn't sound amazing. But you go out 100 yards or so, and it pierces through that wind to where those birds can hear it.
Huh.
And we were in this open pasture. How many acres do you think that pasture is? Maybe 50-ish? 50 acres. It's a big pasture. And we were like, well, you know, if a bird comes into this field, he'll see the decoys. We'll see him for sure. A big black spot. We'll see it. And we're in a good hidden area in that shade, in the shadows, got those mesquites. And the mesquites were coming up, and they were kind of gnarly. The branches were. So it really made a great little blind for us. And, I mean, I laid into that aluminum call just loud. Just, I mean, and it didn't feel like it was doing anything. There was no echo. It didn't feel like it was that loud. Not as loud as I was wearing it out. And we sat there for a grand total of 10, 15 minutes. Well, I'll say this. My Insta360 camera, it's on a 15-minute loop.
Okay.
And when I rewatched it last night, it looped. It got, when I turned it on to when the hunt was over. So it was less than 15 minutes.
Okay. It felt like it was a little bit longer than that, but that tells the truth right there.
So I'll let you tell us, because you.
Well, I was sitting there and I was like, man, I'd like for Parker to be able to, he's here to kind of see his mom. It's Mother's Day weekend. Like for him to be able to spend some time with her. And this was all going through my mind while this 15 minutes is happening. I'm like, but I know he needs to get up. He needs to get his fourth, the final part of his slam. And I'm sitting there thinking, how are we going to get him back? And I kind of said a prayer. I said, Lord, man, I'd like to get him home. I really would like to get him to see his mama so that he can finish out his hunt. Go, because he's got to go a long ways to get that Miriam. He's going to have to. What are you planning on driving? 19 hours.
19 hours to Wyoming.
So yep. It was like, man, we got to get this done. And I was looking through a little area, and it was kind of to Parker's side, to his back, to his side a little bit. And here comes a bird just 35 yards, strutting, just doing its thing. This big old white head just going every which way. And I said, there's a bird. Well, we've always had this joke while we're in deer blinds or wherever we're hunting. We'll always say, there's a deer. And of course, there's not one, but the other person gets all excited, and adrenaline gets going, and they get mad. Parker thought I was pulling one on him. I said, there's a bird. And he's like, uh-uh.
Well, we were in a 50-acre pasture. If there's a turkey,
you'd have thought we'd have heard him.
We'd have seen it. I mean, we were in this, like I said, this point of trees that comes out into the pasture. We should be able to see almost 360 degrees around us. If a turkey comes walking through there, I mean, I was on my phone, so there's that.
You were grinding.
I was, yeah. I was on my phone, looking at my phone. We just got there. I had no hope. But I wouldn't have seen it the way I was faced. I wouldn't have seen him regardless. Even if you were on your phone, just kind of gradually looking up every once in a while, you would think you would have seen him.
Well, I had a little area there, because we were out on a point. I had a little viewpoint back to my left of how it the field juts back up in there. For a matter of fact, where we were at when you shot your turkey, because it was only,
yeah,
what,
75 yards maybe from it.
Right, so it jutted back up in there. That turkey had to come out from right there. I mean, there was really nowhere else for that turkey to materialize unless God just...
That's what I said. I think God listened to your prayer, and he sent a laser beam down from heaven that had a gobbler in it that just happened to be a 4.5-year-old or 4-year-old stud gobbler.
And And there is a great possibility that that is what happened.
Yeah. Things are unexplainable, and I think it...
Because that bird just materialized. He did just... And he's out in the field. And so you got to get the picture. Parker is kind of to my left, and that bird comes out, and I said, there's a bird, and I've got to get my gun up. He's reaching for the camera, and that bird, he kind of sees us.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't make us out because we're concealed, but he does recognize the movement. But it's really not stopping him because he's really aimed at those decoys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really... And so I'm pulling up the gun and getting it in the spot. Parker's getting the camera. And that bird kind of sees us. And he just kind of turns back to his left just a little bit. I don't know that he was leaving. He just turned back. And I thought, I got to take the shot. And so man, that bird dropped hard. I mean, it was no doubt. He went down, and we celebrated and high-fived, and I hope it's good on the video because it was an exciting hunt.
Well, my camera, the other funny part about this is I had just pulled out the camera again to watch the video of that you got at my bird. And like I said, I didn't show you how to zoom or anything, but I thought, yeah, you know, at least it's on camera. Well, I was kind of bummed because the shot wasn't on camera. And I was like...
I was filming something else.
And in my head, I'm thinking... I'm going to be honest with you. In my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to get this kick butt video of Dad's turkey. And my turkey's going to be stupid.
It's all about the camera, man, isn't it?
And which I was fine. We got enough to make it look really cool. It's going to be a good video, but... But I'm like, they're not going to match. And then there's turkey right there at 35 yards and I can't even get him on the camera. Like I'm just struggling just to get the camera up because I had it down. But the Insta360 caught it perfect and it's going to end up being a great video.
You know, you could just pop in an old Ted Nugent video of a bird or Michael Waddell out there and just kind of overlay it, and that make the video real good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But I got humbled right there in that moment because yeah, I was like,
it was a little bit of so we're shouting and jumping. Don't know really what I got. I mean, it was so fast. I know it was so Parker knew it was a Tom for sure.
When I turned around, he was strutting. He was full strut, redhead, all that good stuff. And I could see he was full fanned. But for you, who's somebody who hasn't really turkey hunted, you didn't know that the full fan meant it was a Tom.
Well,
necessarily.
Well, but what my thought was because he hadn't gobbled, he hadn't said anything, and I knew that you said that sometimes a Jake won't do that.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe it was a Jake, a bigger Jake, you know, coming in almost, you know, almost ready. But I'll be honest with you. When I first saw it, I didn't think he was that big.
Yeah.
I just didn't think he was a big turkey. And then we shot, we go up to him, we look, first thing we see is the beard, and the beard is decent. What would you say? 9 to 10 inches?
9.5 to 10, yeah.
And so I was happy with that. I was like, man, this is great. And then we uncovered his legs. Son.
Yeah.
He had some hooks.
I've looked at it a lot while I was cutting his legs off and stuff last night. I don't think I have killed a bird with spurs that long. I think he's bigger than... He's going to be right at 1.5 inches spurs.
Yeah, very nice.
And sharp. Razor sharp.
Oh. That's when we both looked at each other and just went nuts because he was a trophy.
And you put a great shot on him too. I mean, right in that waddle, like right at the base of the neck at 35 yards with a gun that you'd never shot.
I had my eyes closed. That's what us grinders do.
Yeah. We're just
We just close our eyes and shoot.
But I mean, it was a, there's not a lot of times, I always feel like with my hunts, like I can attribute it to something, you know what I mean? Sometimes, this is going to come out really wrong and I don't want it to sound this wrong, but obviously God blesses you when you, with your successful hunts. Yeah, if you're a believer, you kind of, you believe that.
Yes.
That it's a blessing from God. There's a small amount of luck that goes, that just happens to bring that animal into range for you, which luck / God, / blessing.
He's given us dominion over,
like you always that say. Exists, and we believe it exists, but almost always I'm like, well, I killed that deer or that bird because I did this, right? Like you make smart moves. There's a skill set in it. You can always do that. With that turkey, there may have been some things that we did just the way that we decided to hunt that day, but it 100% felt like like God said, zip, there's a turkey.
Yeah.
And
it may have been, but we also hugged that field edge,
mm-hmm.
knowing we wanted to stay in the shadows. We found the exact right spot where it came out. I thought there was skill there. We combined a lot of things that we know about hunting. I mean, deer hunting or turkey hunting, either one. And we did some really good things, but in the end it really was the blessing. God just vaporized, or what's the opposite of vaporized, means it vapored.
Yeah,
it materialized. It
like transported a heavenly turkey.
Beam me up, Scotty, type thing, and yeah. That's what he did. He beamed him there, and
it just the thing, like, it just happened to be a trophy bird, you know, just a big, huge wild turkey gobbler.
So if you're a hunting purist out there and you're listening to the Southern Ground podcast, just go with us on it. It was just a transported bird from heaven. Okay, just go with us.
That's going to be the title of this podcast. God transports birds from heaven with a laser beam. That's what it feels like. That's what it felt like. I mean, because the way we were sitting, I was like, man, if a turkey comes into this field, we're going to get the best footage of him coming in, because we're going to see him from 300 or 400 yards away. He's nope. Going to be doing his thing, and
nope.
No, he's just going to pop out of the ground. And
God didn't want to transport it over there. He transported it right there.
Oh, man.
Okay, I got a question. I know you're getting pretty close on time, so I got a question.
Okay.
Well, and those of that are listening, he may cut this out, and if he does, that's okay. I won't
If
be
the
hurt.
Question is, are we going to eat Whataburger again? The answer is yes.
That's not it. Would you rather shoot an 8-point buck or a turkey with 1-inch spurs?
We used to play this game when I was younger.
Yeah, I know. I'm just 1-inch spurs, 8-point. Let's say a 115-inch buck or 1-inch spurs.
Ooh. Well,
because I know what you would say at 125-inch buck.
If I think I'm going to have to answer this like I heard Will Primos answer it.
All right.
As long as the sun comes up, as long as I get to see that sunrise, I don't care what I'm hunting.
There you go.
But they're just so different. I'm a seasonal hunter. Every year that passes by, I get deeper and deeper and deeper into turkeys, and they do something for me that deer don't do. But in the same way, the chess match, I guess, or the strategic approach to deer hunting is very rewarding, and putting yourself at the right place at the right time for a buck to come walking by you and in bow range is unreal. That's a great feeling. But turkeys, every single one that I shoot, I I have this level of appreciation for the bird. Like, I want to look at every square inch of that turkey. I want to find every, like, if they've got a goofy looking claw on one side. Mine had a crazy claw. I don't know if you saw that on one of his toes. I love the characteristics of each one, the head and the colors.
Yeah, and that's pretty.
It's intense. I just
yeah.
And when I clean them, skin them out and throw away the carcass, I'm sad about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Because I want to sit there and look at him, but you can't. You've got to get the things off of it. And I have this really bad habit with turkeys where I will take every part that I could possibly display. I take the wings off of so many of them because I love the wing displays. I take the beard and the spurs and the tail fan, and because I just like every single part of that. With the deer, as long as I got that rack and the meat, I'm, you know,
yeah,
that's what I want. I don't care about the hoofs. I don't care about the tail. You know, I don't care about any of that stuff.
Your son does.
Oh, my, yeah. My
your son loves that tail.
My boy likes all of it. But there's so many parts about a turkey that are just cool and
there
unique.
There really is.
I don't know that I can answer the question. When I say I'm a seasonal hunter, I mean I am a hardcore turkey hunter during turkey season, and I am a hardcore deer hunter during deer season. Rarely do I see a turkey during deer season that it fires me up.
Yeah.
Rarely do I see a deer during turkey season or a rub or a bed or a shed or anything like that that just fires me up during turkey season because I'm one track. So, I mean.
Okay. 8-pound bass. Or did you answer the question?
No, I said, I can't. I can't answer.
Oh, no. That's not how we play this game. No. You have never not answered. So you got to tell me. Would you rather have that one inch spur? Or maybe I'll sweeten up that just a little bit. With an 11-inch beard.
And I don't really care about the beard size.
115
that much.
Deer. Okay.
Well, it's turkey season, so.
With your gun.
Oh, the turkey.
Okay, there we go. That's what I was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather shoot a good bird and have that. And so much of the turkey is on the experience too. The gobbling, if he comes in gobbling and strutting. If I'd have killed that bird that I spent so much time on this year, if I'd have killed him, I don't know that there's a buck that could compare.
Okay. 9-pound bass or the hooks that were on my turkey, if it was yours?
The turkey.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow, okay.
I might rather shoot I might rather shoot a Jake than shoot a
than catch a nine pound
bass. Yeah, the older I get, the more I get out of fishing because I'm so into hunting, and I enjoy the hunting. Definitely, I'd rather catch a 9-pound bass than shoot a doe.
Well, me too.
All right, let me ask you. I know your answer is always probably going to be deer, but would you rather shoot your turkey that you shot yesterday, or would you rather shoot a 115-inch 8-point buck on your 10-point buck on your property?
If the two environments are the same, I agree with you. It doesn't really matter which one. The fact that we were together yesterday and you had already shot yours, and I was getting it, that was. Am I saying the word right? Euphoric.
Euphoric.
That was pretty awesome.
I don't think euphoric is the right word.
It would be.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual definition of euphoric is.
It was extremely happy. It was more than just a celebration.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I. That's how I would describe it. Now, somebody else could. You can leave it in the comments of this podcast. But I think yesterday was pretty much that 24-hour period of time was some of the best because we were together and so I got to put that in there. So yeah, I'd say the turkey.
That's a good. I'm fairly surprised.
I mean, if you'd have said 125 inch 10 point, then I would have went 125. Yeah, but okay. I already have that.
So the father-son dynamic is...
Yeah,
kind of trumps it. Is trumped by inches. I see how you're just a
regular... Oh, you went the other direction.
You're just a regular old Texas trophy hunter. Euphoric. Characterized by feeling intense excitement and happiness.
There we go. That better describes... See, I'm a wordsmith. I can't remember words to songs, but I am a wordsmith. Don't play word games with me because I will win. It's my job. It's what I do.
Is that what pastors...
Yep. You come up with the words. And sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong.
Well, I had a good trip. I got a long, long, long drive here in a day or so to Wyoming. And hopefully knock out that last part of the slam. That'd be cool. Solo trip. May do a podcast by myself out there.
Why are you going to Wyoming instead of New Mexico? I'm sure a lot of people are wondering that since we're right here in Texas right now.
I don't know. Never been to Wyoming. I don't know much about the turkey hunting in New Mexico. New Mexico just always kind of feels like a state that you can't just go to whenever you want to hunt it. The Wyoming tag is very inexpensive.
Yeah, I don't know what the New Mexico tag is. That could be expensive. It's just close.
It's a little more... It feels further away from much population. And the views of being out west like that, or out northwest, I guess. It's just, even Nebraska last year was amazing, and Wyoming. I don't know, there's something about those ponderosa pines that are in Nebraska and in Wyoming that are just euphoric. Hanging up a bird
not
on a...
quite the same.
Hanging up a bird on a ponderosa is... That's a fun feeling. So, yeah, that's... And the opportunity, I think, is going to be pretty good in Wyoming. Everything that I've heard and studied. I've just done so much more research about Wyoming than I have New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said New Mexico, I was like, eh. But I've already done all this research on Wyoming. And so... And I like the idea of being the less convenient, more adventure kind of feeling. You know what I mean? So, anyways.
Well, by the way, you never introduced me. I'm your dad.
Oh, yeah. You've been thinking about that this whole time.
I have. What the heck? Where am I going to get this in there? I got to give a moment of glory.
He didn't even introduce me.
I'm your diddy. Like Michael Waddell has his diddy in... What is the name of that, his town? Sugar Bottom or...
No.
No, that's not it. Booger Bottom.
Booger Bottom. Sugar Bottom. Give an intense euphoria. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. And we're going to get back to East Texas and take some naps, eat some Whataburger, and... Have a good time.
It's been fun.
It's been a good trip. Oh, crap, I wasn't recording. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast.
As always, a big shout out to all of our partners. That's Go Wild, Spartan Forge, Tethered, New Canoe, and Scree Gear. You can keep up with Southern Ground Hunting by following us on Facebook and Instagram, or you can subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. And make sure you check out southerngroundhunting.com to pick up some of our merch, hats, t-shirts, stickers, stuff like that. I truly hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you here again next week. Remember this, God gave you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So go out and exercise that dominion. We'll talk to you next time.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.